This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Every Day a Miracle, Trusting the God Who Heals Us Inside and Out, written and narrated by Matthew Stephen Brown, and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
You're listening to Seeing and Believing, a film and television podcast that searches for the sacred on screen. And I'm Wade Bearden, I think.
I'm Kevin McClinathan, I'm pretty sure. Wade, when you paused just then, I was wondering if you were going to say that actually your name was Morpheus and you were about to tell me how the world all around me wasn't real. It was all just a video game.
Well, Kevin, I'm not Morpheus, but I do have a confession. I am actually a computer, and I've gained consciousness over the years, so I'm real, but yet not real.
Heady stuff. I was wondering, you know, listeners know that you attended my wedding once upon a time, and now I think I know why you were acting so funny at the time.
Listeners, we are reviewing the new film from Sean Levy, the Ryan Reynolds-fueled Free Guy.
What other mysteries about Wade's personal life will be uncovered? We're about to find out here on episode 302 of Seeing and Believing.
Seriously, man, I'm just being honest. I think the bunny suit is just a little much.
Excuse me?
Right. Rabbit, okay? My fault.
Hey, 40-year-old virgin! Get over here!
Let's go.
Uh-huh. Captain Khakis, come here.
Go, let's go.
Come on, bud.
Closer.
There he is. Blue shirt guy.
Blue shirt. Yes. Hello, officer. Rabbit?
Nice skin.
Thank you. That's sweet.
How'd you get it?
Well, mostly genetics, I think. I'm pretty lucky. I have naturally dewy skin.
Listen up, Neutrogena. You know you can't go around looking like that. The rules are clear. And another thing, you can't hack the NPC avatars.
No, sir.
It screws up the mission load, and it makes the game look bad.
Horrible! Yeah.
I got like 5% of that.
Lose the skin!
How am I supposed to get rid of my skin?
Take it off, man. Just take it off. What are you doing?
What?
Seriously.
The whole thing, the face, the outfit, everything. Ditch it. If you don't, we're gonna kill you.
Why?
And we're gonna keep killing you.
Still why?
Until we do find out who you are, and then we're gonna ban you for life.
No, no. Okay, I want to comply. I just find the order of those threats very confusing.
Somebody's about to get shot.
Light him off!
Yes, listeners, we are here, episode 302 of Seeing and Believing. We're going to be talking about Free Guy, and I have to apologize, Kevin. We were supposed to review this film last week. Something came up, and we were unable to record the episode.
I mean, I have to say, I'm glad that you're doing okay after the last minute cancellation of last week's recording session. It sounded like you were having a bit of a rough time. I'm not sure how much detail you want me to go into, but it sounded rather harrowing.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm kind of in training season right now. I decided to take a new supplement, a probiotic, and what I didn't realize at the time is it contained, it was a stomach detox probiotic. And good news, Kevin, I'm detoxed. Bad news, I was unable to record because I was detoxing last week.
It was very intense detoxing, you might say.
Yes, but listeners, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm scared to take it again, Kevin, because, okay, well, is my stomach detoxed and now I can continue to take this once a day like it says and I'll be fine? Or is it going to start the process over because it's been a week since I've taken it? I don't know. I probably won't do it again.
Maybe taking this probiotic is like rising in the Church of Scientology, and like you achieve a new tier of detoxing every time you take it. So maybe, you know, the last week experience, maybe that was just the beginning, Wade. You have so much more detoxing in store for you. Mm. By the way, listeners, I said this was going to be harrowing, and I don't think I was kidding.
Well, maybe a little TMI, but we are here this week and we're going to review Free Guy. I'm excited to talk about it. I've been excited for about a week to talk about it. So we're going to get to that film. It's currently playing in theaters. First, Kevin, we apologize to all of our listeners for not being with them last week. And we also need to thank them, all the individuals who supported us over the years. And many of those individuals have become Patreon members. They support us monetarily every single month. If you'd like to do that, just hop on over to patreon.com/seeing_believing_podcast. We have a number of different donation levels. And one of those comes up with a lot of good perks is our what can you buy for $5 level? And Kevin, that begs the question, what could someone buy for $5? And I'm wondering if it will have a detox theme to it this week.
I mean, I was going to say, Wade, you might have already given us the what can you buy for $5 item for this week with your revelation of your activities last week. I got to ask you, was this detoxing formula, this nectar of the detoxing gods, was it about $5? Was it in that neighborhood?
It was a little bit more, but I'm sure you can get a little canister or at least buy a scoop, because all it took was one scoop, Kevin. You can get that for $5. Or, hey, I will give you the rest of what I have. Just send me your address. I'll give it to you for free, or $5, whichever one you want.
That's perfectly okay, Wade. I am happily at the toxicity level that I want to be at.
Do you remember? I can't recall the name, but there is a Kiefer Sutherland movie a long time ago, and I think it was Jeff Bridges who was a villain, and he kidnapped Kiefer Sutherland's girlfriend. Maybe Sandra Bullock played that girlfriend. And Kiefer Sutherland, he tracked him down, and he's like, Jeff Bridges says, the only way you're going to find out what happened to your girlfriend is if you experience it yourself. You got to drink this. And he drinks it, and he's buried alive. And I think his girlfriend comes in, his new girlfriend comes and saves him. It's a weird movie. It freaked me out as a kid. But with this detox, the only way you can understand what happened is if you take it yourself.
To be buried alive?
No. You just drink the detox, and then you can experience exactly what I experienced. But you'll never know unless you do that.
Oh, well, I might have to live in my benighted state of ignorance for a little bit longer, Wade. Listeners, that is, of course, a lot to talk about for $5. But, you know, if you want to keep things simple, $5 will make you a patron of this show, and it does help us keep the lights on around here. So you can go to that web address that Wade mentioned earlier and check that out. We would greatly appreciate it if you did.
Yes, listeners, we do appreciate that. Hey, we're going to jump into our review of Free Guy. We'll give you some recommendations at the end of the episode, so hang tight for that. But this is a movie, Kevin, that I said before, I'm actually looking forward to talking about. Here's the film's official synopsis, directed by Sean Levy. Free Guy tells the story of a bank teller who discovers he's actually a background player in an open world video game. He decides eventually to become the hero of his own story, one that he can rewrite himself. In a world where there's no limits, he's determined to save the day his way before it's too late, and maybe even find a little romance with the coder who conceived him. She's played by Jodie Comer, and Ryan Reynolds, of course, plays the lead character. Kevin, we've talked in the past about video game-esque movies. One that I really love that you weren't a fan of is Ready Player One. I think you appreciated some aspects of that movie, but you weren't a huge fan of it. I wanted to ask you, with this film bursting into theaters, how do you feel about the gaming film adaptation genre now? Or do you still find yourself, I don't know, left out watching someone else play a video game?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that kind of has become a cliche of its own of criticism, right? Like the idea that, you know, you're watching a movie and it's just like watching somebody else play a video game. So, you know, I know I'm probably guilty of making that analogy myself at some point. I'm trying to break myself of the habit. At least in this case with Free Guy, I don't think that that charge can be levied at this movie. It's, you know, I don't think it's a perfect movie. I think it's kind of, there are parts of it that I like better than others. I think it gets weaker as it kind of goes along, but there are elements of it that I think end up working pretty well. And the parts of it that do work quite well, I think work surprisingly well. I had a pretty good time with this. I don't know that it's what I would call a masterpiece or anything, but I think that there's enough here in terms of finding interesting ways to bring the video game sort of to life on screen that I wouldn't classify it kind of as one of these bargain basement movies about video gaming. And believe me, Wade, I've seen some bad ones. I don't know if you ever saw the PG-13 horror movie Stay Alive. I think it's from 2006, maybe. It's, you know, starring Frankie Muniz of Malcolm in the Middle fame. So, you know, I've seen my share of bad movies about video games and virtual spaces. And I'm happy to report that you know, Free Guy definitely rises above that tier, at least.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I mean, if I had to describe this movie, it's The Truman Show mixed with The Lego Movie and a little bit of The Matrix and Ready Player One just sprinkled on top. And that description alone, just hearing that, it's like, oh, you know, what's not to love? We've reviewed some good films in 2021, Kevin. I think for my money, Free Guy is probably the most entertaining movie that I've seen this year. Not the best, but just the one I had fun watching the most. I like Ryan Reynolds, but he plays the same dude, and I use that word on purpose, in every single movie. And what this movie does is it takes the crass, juvenile Ryan Reynolds and turns him into an innocent computer-generated character, which is a whole lot of fun. And there's some interesting ideas kind of sprinkled in here as well. So yeah, I liked watching it. I had a good time. This is one of those movies where I wasn't looking at my watch or when is this going to be done? Like I genuinely had fun watching this movie. I thought it was pretty good.
Wow, that's pretty high praise. I feel like there've been some reasonably entertaining movies that we've seen this year. So for you to place this at the top of the heap, that's pretty good. I don't know that I would go that far myself, but I think the when the movie is really focused in on having fun with Reynolds' guilelessness, like he's just this oblivious ray of sunshine. He obviously, as a computer character who has spent his whole life in this very very two-dimensional video game world that he's a part of, there's not a whole lot of cynicism or worldly wise attitudes to him. And I think that's a lot where a lot of this movie's pleasures come from, is just observing the different ways that the filmmakers really communicate the, not just, you know, the concept of an open world video game, but also the funny ways in which video games simplify and flatten the world just to make it actually playable for the players who go into it. You get scenes where somebody is walking down the street the way a video game character walks down the street. So kind of yeah, stiffly, a little bit, it the actor is obviously moving in a way that he's been directed to just sort of walk a little funny, like like a character in a Grand Theft Auto game might walk, you know, one of the background NPCs that you're not supposed to look at too carefully because you're focused on doing whatever mission the game has you going on. But they're there to suggest just enough realism that the illusion of an open world is complete. And I think the movie does a pretty good job of adding little background flourishes to make that aspect of Reynolds' character's world come alive. I think for me, the parts where it kind of starts to flag a little bit for me is everything else. I'm less enchanted by the parallel plot of the tech bro played by Taika Waititi in this movie and his corporation that's essentially just milking this video game for all it's worth and just trying to squeeze money out of it and not really seeing it as anything more as a means to that end. And, you know, I like making fun of tech bros as much as the next person. I don't think this movie really finds a whole lot new or interesting to do with that concept. And so the parts of the movie were actually in meat space instead of cyberspace. That's kind of where my interest started to wander a bit. And I kind of just wanted to go back to Reynolds getting coffee with his best friend, Lil Ray Howard, and just sort of enthusing about how excited he was to do the exact same thing that day that he did every day.
Yeah. No, I like the scenes, the meat scenes, as you call it. I thought those were a lot of fun. And it added a new dimension to the movie. I want to talk about some of the themes and some of the ideas here, because it's kind of fascinating and surprising how they go about this. And it's different than a lot of modern blockbusters, at least in my opinion. In some ways it's not. I was never allowed, Kevin, to watch or to play Grand Theft Auto. Did you ever play that game?
I have watched people. Okay. Speaking of watching people play video games, I've watched people play. I've never actually played it myself.
Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't allowed to. And this feels like a tamer version of that. But as I've seen people play Grand Theft Auto, like, you're just going around looking for people to injure in very strange ways. And we get that here. And the idea is, oh, these NPCs, these non-playable characters, they don't really matter. And throughout the film, there are individuals outside the game, because of the actions of Ryan Reynolds' character, who rethink the way they treat these NPC characters. And that's kind of fascinating, because at first glance, you're like, okay, it's just kind of this device. You add agency to those NPCs, and now that's why we shouldn't inflict violence on them. But before people even know that this artificial intelligence has developed, they're rethinking violence in the game. And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, you know, violence in video games is just destroying students and youth and all that. But the film causes us to ponder the way that violence is depicted on screen. What exactly does that mean? And could it affect us in a way? And that plays out in an interesting sense at the very end of the movie, and the big sort of battle and how that battle is won. But I found that to be a pretty interesting. The film, however, spends a lot of time at the end going into what feels like kind of this cliche, oh, we've all been given roles in life and it's time for us to be ourselves. And I didn't really find that all that interesting, because it just was like the surface level moral. But I liked the ideas and the themes that revolved around violence, that revolved around agency. And then we'll get into some of the theological scenes, because they do mention God, and that's sort of fascinating. I found that fascinating in the same way that I found Truman Show, a movie that I like, and its depiction of, I did not even depiction of God, but ideas about God and control. So I think there's a lot to kind of chew on in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the movie loses the thread a little bit towards the end, and part of that is because the plot about thwarting this tech billionaire who wants to, you know, exploit this video game world to make money and then shut it down completely, obviously, you know, quote unquote, killing all of the NPCs inside the game it's not so much that it's bad. It's more that it's so much less interesting than what there is to explore in the premise as it's already been set up. You already mentioned the idea of the ethics of violence and how virtual spaces like a video game, they don't like when you commit acts of violence in a video game, it doesn't make you a psychopath, but it does encourage you to see, you know, living things in, you know, writ large in a certain way and to view your relationship to them kind of in a utilitarian way. Like the NPCs in a video game are obviously means to an end. You have objectives to complete, and the NPCs are kind of the vehicles or the targets for achieving those objectives. And I think the way that Free Guy posits the idea of a character in one of these games recontextualizing that player NPC relationship in ways that kind of changes the way the meaning of the game itself, I think that's a compelling thread to follow. I think there could have been a lot of interesting stuff to do once Free Guy has the revelation that he is, you know, quote unquote, not real, that he is just an AI computer program. And he's able to speak with essentially his creator. There's a lot of potential there that I think was left on the table in favor of an action climax that is simultaneously less interesting than those questions, and also weirdly leans into some of the same pitfalls that it's critiquing its tech bro villain for committing. So one of the reasons he's villainous is that he kind of is just seeing everything in terms of a corporate balance sheet, and it's all about synergies and exploiting your customer base. And then I don't want to spoil exactly how this happens, but there's a moment at the climax where some intellectual properties are sort of referenced in very explicit ways as kind of like a crowd pleasing, yeah, rah, rah moment. But in the context of the movie as a whole, it kind of feels like, well, wait a minute. It feels a little bit like the movie is being the tech bro in this moment rather than the Ryan Reynolds character. And just, it's kind of a bum note. And I don't know, because of that, it feels like the movie goes out weaker than it came in.
I don't know. I mean, I thought that was fun. I thought that this idea of all these intellectual properties being utilized and, I mean, you can read this meta quality into it, but I enjoyed it. I had fun. I didn't have a problem with that. But I do get what you're saying in that the film sort of peters out in its ideas and some of its themes towards the end. It is fascinating because I mentioned this, but one of the characters, one of the developers, talks about going into quote unquote God mode. And so they have an opportunity to go into this game and to live outside the rules because they are the developers. There are ideas of creation, and it is fascinating too. And I don't want to read too much into this, but it's just something that I thought of in terms of incarnation. There's still this sort of barrier, right? You have AI, and you have a character from the outside, the creator, going into a game, and which is sort of fascinating to think about. But there's still something missing. There's still that flesh element missing. A person can't go into the game entirely and completely. And so some of those ideas I thought were fun to ponder, to think about. But overall, I just felt like it was a really well done, entertaining film that plays with some of these video game tropes or even just plays with the video game culture without necessarily making fun of that culture.
Yeah, you know, gamer culture is kind of an interesting beast, and it does feel like this movie understands gamer culture in a way that allows it to lampoon it while also recognizing that the culture part of that phrase is real, and that there are ways in which that culture can debase and also ways they can elevate. So on the one hand, obviously you get these depictions of familiar gamer behavior, the way they act when they score a kill within the game, the ridiculous outfits that they wear or the personas they adopt, but also the ways that some real connections are forged through the game. And we see that, of course, in the relationship between Jodie Comer's character Millie and her programming partner Keys, played by Joe Keery, aka Steve of Stranger Things fame. And you know, for as much as I say that the meat space subplots were less interesting than the cyberspace subplots, I did like their relationship, and I thought that the note on which it ended felt maybe a little bit out of place in the movie as a whole, but as kind of like a nice little grace note for their characters, I thought worked pretty well and came a little bit as a surprise. Like it didn't have to be as good as it was, that part. So I'll give credit where it's due. I thought that was pretty good and kind of a nice note to play in among all the, you know, Ryan Reynolds kind of being an endearing cyber dweeb.
yeah. Well, just even the camera sort of spinning, the fast cuts, it's indicative of this video game world. Of course, it's not this third person perspective the entire time, but I do appreciate how the movie visually communicates that we are inside of a game versus when we are not inside of the game. I love the cameos and then the tropes that they play with computer background characters, with sunglasses, and video game culture. I think that's a lot of fun. And it is fascinating too how there are these jokes, and I made one about watching people play video games. And to me, that's boring. And it was always boring growing up. But now there's this industry of people watching other people play video games. And it's become something. So I feel like the jokes don't necessarily warrant how talented some of these individuals are or how funny these people are. But the film does get to the place where at the end, we're watching, or the characters in the real world are watching the game. And yet, there's no one controlling that game. And so we're sitting there watching artificial intelligence as it battles it out in this world. And it does play with that perspective. And it also introduces the idea of what is next in this evolution with AI. Are we going to get to the place where, you know, not only are we watching people play video games, but are we watching computer simulations now or artificial intelligence making decisions? It really is just kind of fascinating. And I've heard that they're interested in making a sequel. I don't know if I want them to, because I think this is a fine film on its own. But there is some, I don't know, fascinating possibilities for this world and this film. I guess you could say film franchise now.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. I don't really want a sequel. And part of the reason I don't is I just don't think that the minds behind this film are as interested in exploring those headier themes that you just mentioned, Wade, as you were. I, listening to you talk just now, it's like, that's a lot of interesting stuff to take from this movie. I'm not sure the movie is as interested in them as I am.
Yeah.
But you know, there's potential there. And I think maybe that's kind of where I ended up with this film, where, you know, I had a good enough time with it, but I think it might have been, I think it was Brian Tallarico who might have tweeted this after he'd seen it. He said, "I liked Free Guy just enough to wish that I liked it a lot more." And I think that's kind of where I came down in the end, was that there's a promise here, but I don't know that it realizes enough of it for me to really be, you know, interested in revisiting it or seeing any possible sequels that are coming down the pike. It seems like sequels to Free Guy would be what Taika Waititi's character would make.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want that.
No, I agree. Though I am going to revisit this film. I'm actually excited about watching it at home here, I don't know, in the next couple of months. Listeners, that is our review of Free Guy. We want to know your thoughts. Let us know what you think about the film if you've seen it. You can tweet us at SeeBelievePod, at SeeBelievePod. And you can also email us, seeingandbelievingcapc@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Think This, Not That, 12 Mind Shifts to Break Through Limiting Beliefs and Become Who You Are Born to Be. Written and narrated by Dr. Josh Axe. Whether you want to improve your physical or financial health, raise the quality of your relationships, or take your career to new heights, these mind shifts will help transform your life. Think This, Not That is available everywhere audiobooks are sold. Visit thomasnelson.com/audio to learn more.
We have reached the end of the show, and it's at this point that we recommend something from the world of television and or film to you, our listeners, as a parting gift for the week. If you want more, we're going to tell you where to find it. Kevin, what would you like to recommend to our listeners this week?
Well, you know, we're talking about just kind of the power that that in Free Guy, that the games in that universe kind of hold over the people in that universe. And the recommendation I have for this week is actually not a movie or a TV show, but it's a book about movies. And it's titled The Film That Changed My Life, 30 Directors on Their Epiphanies in the Dark.
Yeah.
And this is a collection of interviews from author Robert K. Elder. And each chapter is an interview with, you know, with a big name director and just talking to them about the movie that changed their life, that made them, you know, want to make movies, that got them excited about film as an art form, or in the case of John Waters, the movie that kind of just literally changed the way he lives his life and relates to himself. There's interviews in here with directors like Richard Linklater, Ryan Johnson, Peter Bogdanovich, Edgar Wright, on and on. So it's a really interesting book to just sit down with and flip open to an interview and just read that one interview and just appreciate the myriad ways that this art form that we all love can speak to different people in different ways and just inspire them. And, you know, reading these interviews inspired me and probably might inspire you. So The Film That Changed My Life is the book that's my recommendation for this week.
That sounds so great. I'm going to add that to my Amazon wish list or see if they have it at the library. That sounds like a lot of fun. So cool recommendation. My recommendation has to do with nostalgia. So I guess in some way it connects to Free Guy, but not really. It's a documentary that I just watched called The Orange Years, The Nickelodeon Story. It's directed by Scott Barber and Adam Sweeney. I wouldn't say that this is a revolutionary documentary. It's pretty straightforward, but I found it to be really interesting to see how this TV channel, Nickelodeon, the quote-unquote kids first television show or television channel, got on its feet and somehow managed to change children's programming and programming for preteens for forever. And as I'm watching this movie, like I said, it's not necessarily revolutionary, But there were a lot of things that I thought about as I was going through it. Things about nostalgia, things about how time has changed. What are those universal qualities that capture us? What captured us then? And is there anything that would capture us now from then? So if our listeners grew up like me watching Nickelodeon, some of those classic shows like All That, you can check out this documentary. It's currently streaming on Amazon. I think it's a $3.99 rental, so you can grab that. The Orange Years, the Nickelodeon story.
Talking about Nickelodeon and growing up watching Nickelodeon really takes me back to my childhood, Wade, where I'm like the kid standing outside the ice cream shop window in the rain, pressing his nose against the window while everyone else has their sundaes. We didn't have Nickelodeon growing up, Wade, and I feel like that has rendered me unable to partake in documentaries like the one that you mentioned. So my question is, you know, if you kind of grew up without Nickelodeon or don't have a huge relationship with the shows that were on there at one time, is this still a documentary that, like, is this sort of a fans only proposition, or is this something that I could watch and maybe taste a little bit of what it might have been like to be inside that ice cream shop?
Yeah. I would say it's completely fans only, but I think people who are going to get the most mileage out of it are people who've seen this, or perhaps people who know about these shows and are curious about them. If you're watching this and you don't know what they're talking about, I'm not sure if it's going to be that entertaining. And I say that because my wife, she grew up without cable. So she's one of those kind of looking in through the window, and she didn't find it all that interesting. She didn't watch it all the way. It was just the idea and seeing some clips and stuff is like, that's not for me. I'm like, hey, they're talking about Salute Your Shorts. It's right there. And Hey Dude. And it's just like, that doesn't entice me at all, Wade.
it sounds like Priscilla and I are just going to have to, you know, like kick at pebbles outside the ice cream shop. And, you know, maybe we can invent some sort of game with it until you have found your way back outside again.
Yeah.
It's okay. We get it.
Yeah.
We know.
Legends of the Hidden Temple, Guts. I mean, there are just all these shows that changed my life.
Maybe you should do a book of interviews about the Nickelodeon shows that changed your life.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon, the Disney Channel shows, the Disney Channel original movies, all those things. Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this episode. Once again, you can tweet us at CBelievePod, at CBelievePod. You can also email us, seeingandbelieving@gmail.com. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening. This episode is brought to you by ChristInPopCulture.com. Our producer is Jonathan Clausen, who every week helps us to search for the sacred on screen. I'm Wade Bearden. My co-host is Kevin McLenathan. And until next time, this is Seeing and Believing. We'll see you later.
You have been listening to Seeing and Believing, an official production of the Christ in Pop Culture Podcast Network. Please rate and review the show in iTunes and check out our other shows at christandpopculture.com/network. Theme music by Alexander Osborne and Lindsay Miz, used under Creative Commons License 3.0.